You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Corner House podcast. I'm Sarah Perks, Program and Engagement Director here. Welcome to our final podcast of the year. We have our usual film focus, where we look at new release, Dreams of a Life. We're also going to be doing a big staff Corner House highlights of the year, remembering some of the more exciting things that happened this year at Corner House. And we've also got Jason Wood from Curzon Cinema, who's going to go through a few of the films that we're going to be looking forward to in January and February at Corner House. Let's get straight on to our film focus this week. I'm joined by regular contributor Andy Willis from the University of Salford. And this week we're looking at a film called Dreams of a Life. Now, this is directed by a Carol Morley, and that's someone that should be familiar to Manchester audiences. Andy, tell us why.
Well, it must be coming up for a decade ago. Her first major film, she had made some short films before, The Alcohol Years, featured a roster of well-known faces from the Manchester music scene of the 1980s and had quite a big impact, I think, around here, but also nationally.
And that was a documentary all about her sort of lost teenage years partying in the Manchester music scene. And since then, she's been working steadily across art, fiction and documentary features. And so now we come to her new film, Dreams of a Life. It's based on a true story where in 2006, quite unbelievably, someone discovered the body of a young woman called Joyce Vincent in a flat in London. And it basically remained there for 3 years and no one had discovered her. There was Christmas presents that she'd been wrapping. The TV was still on, unbelievably, 3 years later. And no one really knew what had happened. So Carol Morley has set out to investigate and construct a documentary about this character, well, this real-life person of Joyce Vincent and what happened to her. And she put a lot of adverts out trying to find people that knew her and asking them to come forward with their testimonials. Is that a fair summary of the film, Andy?
Yeah, I think so. I found it quite a moving film in many ways, very contemporary, quite simply made, but I felt that its simplicity was all the more effective. It uses reconstructions. Carol Morley imagines what Joyce's life would have been like, intercut with testimonies of people who knew her.
Yeah, and let's start with the testimonies. These are really interesting because they're quite a random selection of people, from people that she socialised with, people that she worked with, an ex-flatmate who doesn't seem particularly emotionally invested in it. And that actually, that the way that people had very different opinions of her and very different reactions to her life was really, really interesting. And it sort of pieces together something that you sort of don't quite believe, or you don't know who to believe, rather. And her family also don't comment and don't become a part of it. So there's some, what you might say, leaps, if you like, in kind of reconstructing this person's existence.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things was, I think you have to be quite an active viewer of this documentary. It's not something that is there just to tell you what happened. So you see all of these people, but there isn't the conventional name coming up saying what their relationship was to Joyce Vincent. You see shots of, I'm guessing they're either the real notes that Carol Morley had made or reconstruction of her post-its and notes and her trying to construct a timeline. And you have to figure out where these people intersected with Joyce's life. And what's most amazing for me is how somebody who, on the surface, when you read the report, you must think, oh, what a sad person, doesn't really know anybody, was living in this very contemporary life of isolation, actually knew a whole roster of people, as you say, very different, but all who seemed to care very, very much about her on occasions. You know, she'd had relationships with these people. As you say, there's no members of her family in the film, but she had family, and yet she went kind of missing for 3 years. No one even bothered to wonder where she'd gone. Everyone thought that somebody else would know where she was, which seems to be quite pertinent today, you know, the big society. Everybody's meant to be pulling together, and it just shows how much of a myth those sorts of ideas can be in certain situations.
And also, for me, it's quite interesting, sort of pre-Facebook, like what would we be able to compile now via social networking that might tell us more? But also, she's not a sad individual. She's obviously very intelligent. She holds down a number of quite successful jobs. And she's also, she's obviously a bit of a social climber. She really hangs out with different groups at different times, and she obviously wants to get on. So she's not a kind of, you know, a sorry figure. She's beautiful, very attractive. That's commented on throughout the film. So it's really compelling trying to work out exactly what happened to her. And the film, of course, doesn't have all the answers, but puts forward a number of theories, if you like, a number of things to suggest it. So it's one of those films that you come out with you have to talk to everyone, you have to put your own theories in. It's really exciting in that way. If I did have a minor criticism, I'd say it just didn't quite have the style and flair, I guess, that I'm used to from films like The Arbor, which are also reconstructing a sort of personal history, if you like. So I would have liked a little bit more visual flair in the film, but otherwise very, very engaging and intriguing.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting there's a really great, I thought, soundtrack by Barry Adamson, and that works very, very, very well. And I think for me, one of the things I found interesting about the visual style, it didn't worry me so much. It's clearly quite low budget, but I thought it also evoked some of the styles of documentaries of the period that they were talking about when Joyce was alive, things like The Thin Blue Line, the Errol Morris film, and things like that. So, I mean, obviously we don't know. It'd be interesting to see some of the interviews with Carol Morley about how conscious and almost retro visual style was being created to complement the era of the story and some of the real music that was used from the era and things like that.
Because she obviously does reference and extract a lot from TV documentary, but there's also because they have the film scenes reconstructing her life, not in a crime watch way, but maybe in more of a feature film kind of way. That's really interesting. And there's also the intriguing kind of questions around her family. So she comes from a mixed race background. Her mother was Indian and died when she was younger, and her father is from the Caribbean. And that kind of isn't particularly explored or brought up front, but it's still there. Was her father missing for a long period of time? She's got four sisters. Where are they? How has their family developed? So it's a really, really fascinating story and fairly well told, I think.
Yeah, and I'd say it's interesting as a Christmas film. It might not on the surface seem a good Christmas film, but that, you know, we're always being told to, you know, knock on a neighbour's door at Christmas to check they're okay. It was quite poignant at the end because I was thinking about, you know, all of those adverts that say knock on the door to see if your neighbour, if you've got an elderly neighbour or whatever, is still there. So maybe it's a Christmas alternative to a snow-covered family adventure or something like that.
And it is a reminder to check on those people you've not seen for a while. But of course, perhaps just use Facebook. It'll be a bit quicker and you'll find them sooner. Okay, so that was Dreams of a Life, directed by Carol Morley. And that's here at Corner House from Friday, the 16th of December. Times are on our website.
Art, film, books, food, drink. All at Corner House, Manchester.
Okay, so 2011 has been a particularly strong year for films, and Andy's done his homework and he's going to tell us a few of his highlights of the year.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, Sarah, I think it's been a really great year for films, particularly those shown at Corner House. One of my highlights of the year was A Separation, which kind of was on in Berlin, so it's very early on last year, but still stands out for me as a kind of new take on the courtroom mystery where you find out about what's happened in a particular situation, except the courtroom is in Iran, so the legal structures are very different. That was a standout film for me. I found that incredibly engaging. I also liked The Skin I Live In, the Almodovar, which I thought was fantastic. Alongside that, I liked Weekend, which was probably my standout British film of the year. It was a big surprise. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I loved the really gentle, easy nature of the film. Fantastic performances. And then also, we need to talk about Kevin, which was, again, something I think I expected to be good, but really went above my expectations, particularly in its absolute cinematicness. It was a beautifully made piece of cinema. So regardless of the story, you could just watch it and think, this person knows how to make a film.
And just want to flag up, it's been a great year for women filmmakers as well, and like to throw in Self-Made, Gillian Waring's film, and of course a great year for contemporary visual artists making films. I know it's actually out next year, but one of my highlights was interviewing Steve McQueen last week and seeing his new film Shame, which is a really strong and engaging piece of work and extremely visually exciting. And what was your like surprise hit of the year, Andy?
Well, my surprise hit of the year, I don't know if people can recall back to my overexcitement when we did the podcast that week, but Gregor Aki's Kaboom. Again, I didn't know what to expect. I hadn't liked a lot of Gregor Araki's work, but I just loved the energy and the fun of that film. You know, often we're talking about very serious films with serious issues, but this film was just an hour and a half of absolute fun, I thought. So that would be my surprise hit of the year.
I'd say my overall favourite film of the year was definitely The Skin I Live In, Almodovar. It's a bit of a shame he brings out one every 2 years because it always tends to be my favourite film every second year. But hey, he's a genius. He makes amazing films. And who was your favourite guest of the year?
Well, I think my favourite guest, I was fortunate enough to do the Q&A with Brillante Mendoza when he was here for the opening weekend of the Asia Film Triennial. And being able to talk to a Cannes award-winning director who'd made so many films that I really, really admired was really good. And to see him really engaging with the audience in Manchester, answering questions, and being able to see other people share my enthusiasm for his work was definitely my highlight of the year.
And now we're going to hear from Jason Wood, who's a noted film programmer, works for Curzon Cinemas, and of course we work in partnership with them to bring you the best films every single week. So let's hear Jason's tips for January and February.
Probably my favourite film I've seen recently. I think it's going to be also one of the best films released next year. It's the second feature film from Turner Prize winning artist Steve McQueen. It's released on January the 13th and it's called Shame. Shame is a collaboration between Steve McQueen and the writer Abby Morgan, who is probably best known for the recent TV drama The Hours. It again sees Steve McQueen working with actor Michael Fassbender, who I think is one of Britain's best actors at work at the moment, known recently to audiences both for Hunger and Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. And Shame is a very adult film about an adult subject matter. It's about sex addiction. It's set in contemporary New York, and Michael Fassbender plays a young, successful executive called Brandon, who has a series of one-night stand and sexual encounters with complete strangers. His life is thrown into disarray by the arrival of his sister, Sissy, who's an inspiring singer, and she's played by Kerry Mulligan. A lot of people raised their eyes when it was announced that Kerry Mulligan was going to be in the film, but I have to say she's completely brilliant. And I think following her performance in Nicholas Winding Refn's Drive, I think she really has become one of our best actors. It's a fantastic film. As I said, it's very sexually frank. It's a film which deals with kind of alienation in contemporary society. And the photography by Sean Bobbitt is completely brilliant. It is an amazing work, and I think it will be a real awards contender, and I think it certainly cements Steve McQueen as one of the brightest and best voices in young British filmmaking. A few more films to mention very quickly. January the 20th sees the release of Coriolanus, which is the directorial debut of Ralph Fiennes. Coriolanus, as most of you will probably be aware, is a Shakespeare text, and what Ralph Fiennes has done, he's given it a very much a contemporary adaptation. The film also stars Gerard Butler and Vanessa Redgrave and Brian Cox, as well as Fiennes in the contemporary lead role. And the film is set during modern times, and it's about warfare. The closest parallel to the film, I would say, is Richard Loncrane's adaptation of Richard III with Sir Ian McKellen. It's a film which was made on a very low budget, and sometimes that shows. You can see in the crowd scenes that there aren't actually that many extras, but it's a film of intelligence and insight, and the battle sequences are incredibly well handled. And I think what the film does is certainly shows that Fiennes has very much learned working behind the camera with some of the very good directors he's worked with, such as Anthony Minghella and David Cronenberg. He's already planning his next directorial project, and I think he's going to be a director certainly to contend with and to look out for. My final two films are The Descendants, which is released on January the 27th. The Descendants is the much-awaited new film from American filmmaker Alexander Payne. Alexander Payne is a director who tends to leave quite a long period between projects. He's obviously known for Election, About Schmidt, and more recently Sideways with Paul Giamatti, which was a film about two pals touring the Californian vineyards and discovering unknown facts about themselves. The Descendants, I recently saw at the Toronto Film Festival, and it was fair to say it's one of the most acclaimed films to play at the festival. It stars George Clooney as a estate agent living in Hawaii who seems to have the good life, but an accident to his wife realises that his life isn't as perfect or compact as he thought. The accident to his wife reveals that she was having a long-standing affair with a kind of contemporary, and George Clooney sets about discovering the nature of this affair and trying to put right his deceased wife's affairs. Like many of Alexander Payne's films, it's very, very astute on the subject of family. It's very, very astute on the subject of relationships. It's very, very funny, very witty, but it's also incredibly sad. And people often like to say this about George Clooney, but I think it is one of his best performances. He's comic, but he also has a kind of depth and complexity to his character, which is actually very affecting to watch. It's one of those crossover titles that I think fans of American independent cinema will admire, but also mainstream audiences will also find much to engage with. The final film I'm going to leave you with is another American independent film, but it's much more independent. It's the first film, I believe, from a director called Sean Durking, and it's a film called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, which is quite a long title. It screened at Sundance, where it featured in the prize ceremony, and it's quite an intense film about a young woman who is abducted by a cult, and she is subjected to various sexual acts by the cult leader, played by John Hawkes, who was recently seen in Deborah Granik's excellent Winter's Bone. John Hawkes was nominated for an Oscar for his performance in that film. He didn't win, but again, I think he'll feature in the awards running for Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. It's a very, very intelligent film, and the comparisons with Winter's Bone, I think, are entirely apt. It's a film which is set in an American rural setting, and it really captures the kind of idioms and textures of rural America, and also the kind of strange quirks and foibles of this cult that exists. It's not always an easy watch. It isn't exploitative in any way, but it does show how kind of mental instability is preyed upon by some of these cult groups, and it features a number of excellent performances across the board. It's got a fantastic sense of time and place. Again, you know, I keep mentioning Winter's Bone. I think people that admired that film for its similar sort of sense and time and place will find much to admire here. It's released on February the 3rd, and I think people will look out for it.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
It's time for this week's What's On Guide. First up, I'd like to make sure that you know it's your last chance to see Rashid Rana, Everything Is Happening at Once, which is our major exhibition in galleries 1, 2 and 3. It's the first public solo UK display of his work. He's a very, very talented and extraordinary artist who's based in Lahore in Pakistan. So I do recommend that you, if you haven't already, or perhaps you want to take another look, you head up to our galleries before 6 p.m. on Sunday the 18th of December. And it is, of course, as always, absolutely free. Also, we have a new Conrad's project in the Cafe Bar. It's a local artist called Bethany Gray, who recently graduated from art and design at Manchester Metropolitan University. We've got a selection of her most recent paintings. She's very interested in theatrical ambiguity and the potential narrative exploitation of still landscapes. So it makes a really impressive display in our bar and cafe, maybe some last-minute Christmas presents as well. So if you join us on Wednesday the 21st of December from 6 p.m, that will be the informal launch of the exhibition, and you'll also get a chance to meet the artist. And that will remain on the walls of our cafe bar till Tuesday the 31st of January. And finally, we have another film release this week. It's called Mysteries of Lisbon. And Andy's just going to tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Mysteries of Lisbon's the latest film to be released. I think the last film he completed by Raul Ruiz, the Chilean filmmaker who had a long and varied career working in Latin America and in Europe. And for me, this is one of the things that makes me grateful that we've got Corner House, an independent cinema in Manchester. It's 4 hours long. It's not a film that you'll get to see at many other places. It's playing, I think, once every day apart from Monday next week. Check the website for times. Come, bring a sandwich. There's a 10-minute interval. relax, enjoy it. It's a real good example of world cinema at its best.
And yeah, why not take a chance on that instead of coming back and back again to watch It's a Wonderful Life? But of course, if you need to bring the family, It's a Wonderful Life is screening, and it starts on Friday the 16th of December. All the times are on our website.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
Now, we've done things a little bit differently for our staff recommendation of the week this week. We're actually doing staff highlights of the year. So we've spoke to a wide range of our team and got them to tell us the most amazing moment of the year for them.
Well, all the way back in January, we worked with a group of artists called Archipelago. It's one of our first micro-commissions, and they treated Corner House as a state or a country, and they created a consulate for Corner House, which is over in the Triangle Shopping Centre. One of the things I wanted to do was reveal behind the scenes the guts of the organisation. So they did face casts of as many members of staff as would volunteer to get their face cast, and it ended up being quite a lot. And all of those face casts were then displayed in the Corner House bar. So it was quite fun trying to recognise everybody, and it was quite a fun experience to go through. Most people hadn't done it in the past, and looked pretty bizarre. Everyone staring out like death masks from the bar wall whilst people are trying to enjoy their pint or coffee.
I always enjoy Viva, our Spanish film festival, and this year was no exception. The film that kind of stood out for me was The Wind Journeys. It was about this guy who kind of travelled around the villages in Colombia playing the accordion. So you've got loads of rugged landscape, amazing music. He's playing all these like traditional songs. His wife dies, so he makes one last journey to kind of take his accordion back to where it came from. And he picks up a little apprentice on the way. So you see them travel through the country, make friends, play in competitions. It's one of those kind of films that you come out and you're like, right, I'm going to learn the accordion. I want to be able to play like that. It was just amazing music, really inspirational.
We've had so many guests lately, but for me, the absolute best guest that we've had this year is the fantastic Terence Davies. I've been a fan for well over 10 years now. So having the opportunity to talk to somebody like Terence Davies, who I've admired for so long, was absolutely inspiring. He's so passionate about cinema, so enthusiastic. He's got so many hilarious tales to tell everyone. I know that I had an amazing time, and the sellout audience in cinema too really enjoyed it as well.
One of my favourite things this year has been the show and tell, where we invited 10 artists or people who work in creative digital agency to talk about their work, something they like, a personal project they have, or a personal inspiration. In 5 minutes, not more, just simple, informal, lovely. And the thing I liked about it is just it's a place where you meet loads of creative people in a very informal environment. You can talk about serious thing or just talk about things people like. And that's what I like in general about this year at Corner House, is whether it's audience, artist or collaborator. And my work colleague, it's the mix of people and the creative things they do at Corner House. It's great.
In response to feedback from the public who felt that occasionally some of our talks and tours were a little bit highbrow, we brought in somebody who was the opposite of highbrow, who was just like everyone's mum or slightly batty aunt, and that was Mrs. Barbara Nice, who people might know from Phoenix Nights or even Coronation Street and Max and Paddy. And she's toured with Peter Kay, so she's a really fun, everyday, down-to-earth, mumsy type of figure. And she did a walk around of our gallery show with Rashid Rana, Everything Is Happening Is Once, and that went down really, really well. And in fact, that tour was only meant to take about 40 minutes, and it lasted a record-breaking 1 hour and 40 minutes because we just couldn't get people out of the galleries. And it was great because she was really encouraging people to offer their opinion. We banned people from reading the gallery guide or reading the wall text. Really great, really fun experience. And it all culminated with everybody being handed feather dusters and actually cleaning the work in the top floor gallery.
Attenberg was a great film. It was really surprising, actually, how much I enjoyed it. I think it's very rare to watch a film, a coming-of-age film, about a woman in her early 20s. I thought it really dealt with really difficult issues in relating to kind of sex and your relationship with your father, really interestingly. And also its use of music was fascinating, and it had a really great punky soundtrack. I mean, it's very rare that you see a film with a female taxi driver listening to suicide songs like all the way through, and I loved that.
Trollhunter was astoundingly good fun. One of the best films to come out of Norway in a long, long time. Absolutely amazing cinematography, brilliant special effects, absolute riot. It's the kind of film that you don't expect to see at Corner House. Tyrannosaur, both the film and Q&A were amazing. Paddy Considine, one of the nicest guys you could ever wish to meet, really affable, really genuine on stage. The film was a genuine tour de force. For a first-time director, it was brilliant. Again, one of the best films I've seen this year.
Okay, so back in June we had an amazing release of a British independent documentary which many people might have thought wasn't for them, and the documentary was called Senna. It was absolutely amazing, and I remember back in, I think it was May or April, we were debating whether this film was for us to show, and I'm so glad that we did. It was absolutely beautiful. Even if you think, oh God, I hate Formula One, any motor racing, then definitely see this film. You can get it, rent it, DVD, buy it, whatever you can, just make sure you see it. It's just a beautiful portrait of a man, ambitious, striving towards just winning and pure racing of Formula One. And Ayrton Senna is just, like, everybody knows that he was a bit of a ladies' man, a bit of a charmer, but he's absolutely charismatic, just an amazing portrait of a man. And by the end, I think the whole cinema that was in the Q&A that we did with the director, Asif Kapadia, everybody was just so stunned, so shocked at how amazing this film was. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the house, and the Q&A was just fantastic. It's definitely one of my highlights of the year. And it was an absolute pleasure to meet Asif. He was so down to earth and so involved in this project that I think there's like a box set out there that you can get if there is a Formula One racing lover in your life for Christmas. It's about £250 just with all the extras, because it took so long to edit this film down because there was so much footage. And it's just fantastic, like archive footage, not a modern day talking heads documentary like the run of the mill. It's just completely different, and you just get swept along with it, and it's beautiful.
Of the many exhibitions that took place at Cornhouse this year, I think New Cartographies was definitely one of my personal favourites. Of course, because it explored many themes that I've always been interested in, but also because of the family connection with one of my long-distant relations, an auntie who I'd never met before, being one of the artists within the show, Sophie Albaz, so that was really great. Another highlight must be the jam-packed summer full of workshops that took place at the Creative Stars partner venues. It was an opportunity for us all to try out things that I would have never, ever thought that I'd want to try out before, such as street dancing, DJing, and actually, I have to say, I became a bit of a pro at the old DJ skills. So, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I thought Black Power Mixtape was my highlight this year. Thought it was a really good documentary. A lot of people went for Senna, but I thought this was a really important documentary as well. It was really interesting, the fact that it was directed by a Swedish guy, and a lot of the footage had come from Sweden and was really fresh. I thought that was really interesting to look at the events that happened and to shine a light on the history in America through the eyes of a different nation, really. I suppose it was, you could say the same for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy as well, and that was directed by a Swedish guy as well, very similar time, and really caught the mood of our time, I suppose, over here for Tinker Tailor, and in America obviously for Black Power Mixtape. Yeah, real highlight for me.
Okay, thanks everybody for that. Just want to say it's been a pleasure doing the podcast for the first full year. And yes, we pretty much managed to do it every week. I want to thank regular contributor Andy Willis and, of course, everybody else that's joined us on this podcast across the year. We've had a range of interviews with artists, filmmakers, and plenty of the team members have helped us review films. We'll be back on January the 12th with a new series of podcasts, of course, for next year. In the meantime, have a great Christmas and New Year. Take care.
You've been listening to the Cornerhouse podcast.